You're listening to the Hope United podcast, creating an atmosphere of worship, family, and discipleship. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit hopeunited.church.
So today I want to talk to you a little bit about vision. Will you just say vision with me? Vision. And I believe it's important that we get ready, that we get prepared in our spirit for what God wants to do in 2019. No matter if you had a great 2018 or you had a terrible 2018 and said, I just want a do-over. God is going to do some things and we have to get ready. We need to enter into 2019 prepared. And we have to have a vision because God uses vision as a vehicle to get you where you need to go. He uses vision to get you where you need to go. There's a place that God has prepared for you. There's a vision. There's a purpose that God has for you. But you have to receive the vision first so you can lock your sights on it and you can get where God wants to take you. This is what it says in Proverbs 29:18. It says, without where there's no vision, the people perish. Something inside of us is dying when we don't have vision. Something inside, anybody ever notice that when we start to talk about vision or what God's plans are for us, is something inside of us comes alive. We feel like I'm a little bit more alive right now when I start to talk about vision. I got a little bit more hope than I had 5 minutes ago when I start talking about the vision that God has for me. So it's important, it's necessary, it's powerful that we have vision. Turn to somebody and say, we need vision. So that's what I want to talk to you about today. I want to talk to you about vision because I know that many of you have been praying about some things because I've been praying about some things. I know you've been believing for some things. I've been believing for some things to happen. Anybody been believing for some things to break? Some walls to come down. Amen. And so it's important to latch on to the vision that God has for you. And I want to tell you that God gave me and Pastor Corinne a word for 2019, and that is possessing the promise. You see, many of us have looked at the promise. We've perceived the promise. We have even received maybe a word of prophecy, or maybe we had a dream. Or we kind of God revealed in one way or another what he wants. But I want to tell you that 2019, if you'll receive it, if you're going to obey whatever God gives you to do, that you're going to possess the promise in 2019. There was a point in time when there was a Joshua generation that stood up and said, you know what? Moses saw it, but it's time for us to possess it. Anybody want to possess what God has for you? So I want to talk to you about the process that we have to take to get there. And maybe over the next couple Sundays, I'll lay out more of the vision. But I want to talk about the process to get there to the vision. If you'll go with me with Matthew 26, I want to tell you a little bit of a story where Jesus was on his way to fulfill his vision on the cross, the vision that the Father gave him. And so he takes his disciples and he goes to the Garden of Gethsemane. And they're going there to pray because to go where you need to go, you need to be prayed up. Look at somebody and say, get prayed up. And Jesus understood this because a praying Christian is a powerful Christian. I'm going to say it again. A praying Christian is a powerful Christian. You got to know this because the enemy's going to try to distract you. He's going to try to throw a lot of stuff on your schedule. He's going to throw a lot of rationale to where you don't pray as much as you should. And then you're not going to have the power that you need when you need it. A prayerless Christian is a powerless Christian. It's so important, and Jesus takes his disciples to go pray in the Garden of Gethsemane. Now, it's interesting, Gethsemane was an olive grove. And I don't know if you know what happens at the olive grove, but they take the olives and they begin to press the olives and they crush the olives. And when they press these olives, fresh oil comes out. fresh olive oil comes out. And Jesus was at a place where he was being pressed, but he didn't run from being pressed. He actually ran to the process of being pressed, because he understood that only in the process of being pressed will you get fresh oil. You're wondering what it's going to take from get you to from where you are right now to the place that God wants you to be. You need the fresh oil. You need the fresh anointing that God has for you. You need that fresh thing that God is going to release in you. But it only happens when you're pressed. And you see, not only did Jesus not run from the pressing, Jesus pressed into the pressing because he wanted to get the maximum oil on his life for the vision that needed to be released. Amen. And so we need to, when we approach vision in 2019, and we approach vision in whatever season that we're going into, we need to press in to the pressing and say, I'm not running from what God is doing. I'm running into what God is doing, because I want for every circumstance, every situation that I'm going through, not to just be something that it hurts me or hinders me. I want it to press me to release fresh oil. So Jesus begins to pray. Jesus begins to allow this pressing to bring out fresh oil. When you feel the press, you need to press back, because it's only in the pressing that there is a release of the fresh oil. And Jesus understood he had a destiny. Destiny. We all have to understand we have a destiny. We have a purpose. God's given us a vision. But you're going to have people, you might be minding your own business, doing what God has called you to do as best that you know how to do. And then it seems like people are just come around trying to start trouble. Anybody have some troublemakers just in the middle of your prayer zone? You're trying to have a prayer thing going on. You're trying to keep your spirit right. And some people, some backstabbing or religious folk or some bullies try to come up into your zone. You're trying to have some peaceful prayer time, reflect on the Lord, and somebody's trying to get some static happening with you. Into the middle of this prayer moment comes Judas, representative of somebody that betrays you, somebody that stabs you in the back, somebody you trusted. The religious leaders represent people that are just religious. They're not doing the right thing. They're not advancing the kingdom of God. They're just religious. And then the soldiers, bullies. There's going to be bullies to your destiny. There's going to be religious folk that say, oh, what you're doing isn't spiritual enough. And there's going to be people that you counted on to let you down. They're going to come into your world. But I want you to understand what Jesus understood. You can't arrest destiny. You can try to stop it. You can try to impede it. You can try to sabotage it. You can try to betray it. You can try to undermine it. But if God assigns a vision to your life, there's no devil in hell that can mess up your assignment. Because there's going to be attacks that come, but you have to know it in your heart that no bad economy, no crazy politics, no matter what the environment is, guess what? There's nobody that can stop God's vision for your life except you. There's nobody that could have stopped Jesus from his purpose on the cross except for Jesus. And there's nobody that can stop God's plan, God's will, God's vision for your life except for you. When we became the lead pastors 5 years ago, Pastor Corinne and I, God gave us some promises. Anybody, God ever gave you some promises? So God gave us some promises. And I know that God's promises always come true. They might not come on your timeline, amen, but they always come true. God promised us that we would cross cultures and break barriers. He promised us that this ministry would bridge three generations, that God would bring prodigal sons and daughters back home. that the worship in this house would go around the world. He promised us that we would have schools. He promised us that we would raise up leaders. We would raise up ministers in this house. That we would be culture shapers. That we would be thought leaders. God made us many powerful and precious promises, and we know his promises never fail. So my question to you today is, what has God promised you? Have you written down? Have you made it plain? Because it's going to be difficult for you to run with that vision if you have not clearly written it down. It's going to be difficult for others to run with you in that vision if you have not clearly written it down. Don't underestimate the power of writing your vision down and making it plain. Talking to some of my dear friends and some of our leaders, some of our team members, and we are just talking about the importance of vision. Sometimes we get frustrated, or sometimes we've shelved some aspects of what God has called us to do, and we don't have it written down anywhere. Can I tell you something? Write that thing down. Make it plain. Put it on your refrigerator. Put it in your phone. Put it in your car. Make the vision plain so that you can run with it. And so that others can buy into it and come into agreement with it and run with you. What has God promised you? Because it's time to possess the promise. Look at somebody and say, it's time to possess my promise. You've looked at it. You've thought about it. You've considered it. You've prayed for it. But this is the season. 2019 is time to possess your promise. Don't quit. You know, one of the biggest attacks of the enemy is to try to get you to quit. You get frustrated. You get tired of waiting. You get punch drunk from being in too many battles. But I want to tell you today, don't quit. Carry your cross, the cross that God has given you. Don't quit. Carry your cross. Jesus said, and he's praying in the garden, says, yes, Father, I'll drink the cup. I'll drink the cup. He told his disciples, he said, you got to pick up your cross and follow. We each and everyone have our particular cross. We've got some battles we're going to have to fight. We're going to have some things we've got to overcome on the way to our vision, on the way to our destiny. But here's the good news. I have some good news for you. This is real good news. You only have to carry your cross. You don't have to carry anybody else's cross. You don't have to carry anybody else's expectations, anybody else's preconceived ideas of you. You don't have to carry anybody else's guilt trips. You only have to carry your cross. And if you carry your cross, Jesus said, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. Why do we carry the cross? Because the joy that we see in the vision that God has given us. That's why we're willing to carry our cross. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, and God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. Right? His yoke is easy. His burden is light. If you got too much and you're getting just feel like you're overwhelmed, guess what? You're carrying something you shouldn't be carrying. You let somebody put a bag on top of your cross. Put some different stuff. Hang some stuff on top of your cross because that wasn't designed for you to carry. Just carry your cross. Just carry your cross. Just imagine Jesus there. He's praying and he's in anguish, it says. You know, like he's like great drops of blood. He's praying. He's sweating. There's so much anguish and he bows down, it says, as he's praying. But it's important to know he didn't bow down to the stress. He didn't bow down to the battle. He only bowed down to God's will for his life. See, sometimes we're in the midst of the battle and we can bow down to the battle. We could cave in, we're in the middle of the fight, but Jesus only bowed down to the will of God. Can I tell you, there's going to be struggles, there's going to be challenges, there's going to be battles, but only bow down to the will of God for your life. Make it a resolute decision. No matter what I go through, the only thing I will bow a knee to is the will of God for my life. The only thing that's going to cause me to change directions is the will of God for my life. The vision that God gives. And you got to know that, because there's going to be some battles. You got to know when to battle. You got to know when to rest. Know when to rest. Know when to battle. Jesus, he's taken his disciples there. He said, these are the men that are the closest to him. The ones that he counts on the most. And he says, please pray with me. Intercede. Battle with me in the spirit. Pray for me. We have to see this vision come to fully come to pass. Pray with me. Fight with me. He comes back. The disciples are sleeping. They're not fighting. They're sleeping. They were resting when they should have been battling. Jesus was counting on them. Can I tell you, you can't rest when you're supposed to be battling, or you're going to lose ground in what God's called you to do. And so then, all of a sudden, Jesus said, now it's too late. And the soldiers are coming in, and Judas is coming in, and the religious people are coming in. And Peter jumps up and he cuts somebody's ear off, right? He's battling, and Jesus said, no, it's not time to battle anymore. Put your knife away. It's time to rest. We have to know in the vision that God has given us when to rest and when to battle. I've seen some Christians, they're battling all the time. They're getting burned out because they're battling. Jesus didn't do it like that. Jesus didn't battle all the time. Sometimes he had children on his lap. Sometimes he's praying by himself. He knew when to rest. He knew when to fight. We have to know when to battle and when to rest. Some of us, we rest too much. We get complacent. Amen. There's some things God told us, and we put it on the shelf when God didn't tell us to put it on the shelf. We put it on the back burner when it should have been on the front burner. Amen? Know when to rest, when to battle. Pick your battles. Know your seasons. And then Jesus is there in the middle of this garden, in the middle of this olive grove, and he's surrounded now with Judas, the one that betrayed him, with some religious people, with some bullies. Can I tell you, there's always going to be a false witness. There's always going to be a false witness. And Jesus was surrounded with it. Maybe in your life it's a person. Maybe it's a friend turned enemy. How many know that? That does happen, actually, right? Maybe it's a doctor's report. Maybe it's a family member that doesn't believe you can actually do what God said you could do. But you have to believe the report of the Lord. Sometimes those closest to you are not going to get it. For 3 years he taught Judas. He gave him parables. He gave him principles. He gave him the backside, inside scoop on the parables. Still, after 3 years, Judas did not get it. You're going to have some people in your life that just don't get what God is trying to do in your life. There's people around you that won't understand the vision. And others may deny it, but you don't deny your destiny. Don't deny your destiny. Jesus didn't deny his destiny. He knew. And he stood firm on what God had called him to do. On the other hand, Peter said, I'm not going to deny it. I'm not going to deny you. I'm not going to deny the vision. I'm with you. And then he ended up denying. We can't deny. When we walk away from the vision God gives us, we are denying our purpose. When we walk away from the vision God gives us, we're denying our purpose. Now, thank God that Peter came back around after Jesus rose and he said, you know what? Never again. Never again will I deny you. Never again will I deny the vision that you've given us. And he made a decision. Some of you, maybe you feel that you've fallen short. Maybe some of you have fallen short of the vision that God has given you. Can I tell you? Be like Peter. Peter came back around and he said, Jesus, I've made a decision. I'm never again going to deny what you're doing in my life. The vision that you've given me. I'm not going to turn away and walk away. I'm not going to run away. I've made up my mind, whatever it takes, whatever the cost, I'm going to press through in the vision. Now, here's an important piece, an important component to the vision being released. And that is this. Jesus had to die. Jesus had to be buried. And Jesus had to rise again. The Bible calls Jesus the incorruptible seed. So that tells me, to get to the vision, there has to be a seed planted. There has to be a seed planted to activate what God wants to do in this new season of your life. And so, Jesus was the seed that was planted for the vision of redemption to be made manifested. Jesus was the seed planted for the vision of redemption to be manifested. God always uses a seed to bring a harvest. Jesus was the seed of a son to bring forth many sons. Amen. How many sons do we have in the room? All right. Whether you're a man or a woman, you're a son of God, right? And so, first the seed, then the harvest. And I want us to begin to prepare for what God is going to do in 2019. I just know God is going to do more. Does anybody believe that God is going to do more than you've ever seen? I know that there's so much more that God has for us. We've only just begun. As a family, I know Pastor Corinne and I, we've only just begun. God has great things in 2019, but I want us to begin to prepare to possess the promise. I want us to begin to prepare. And what we do in our churches, we have on New Year's, we plant a seed into our year. So today, we're not giving today, but we're going to pray today. Amen. Will you pray with me today? Is that all right? We begin to pray about what God would have us give on New Year's Eve. Why? Because it takes a seed to activate a harvest. If we want the harvest of our vision, oftentimes as believers, we're expecting a harvest and we've never planted a seed. And there's different types of seeds. We need to plant them all, right? We need to plant the seed of prayer. We need to plant the seed of worship. We need to plant the seed of finances. And when we plant the seed, there's something that is activated in our vision. When Pastor Corinne and I have ever wanted to go to a greater level, we've planted a greater seed. And that's financially, we've taken our worship to another place. We've set aside more time to pray. We planted a greater seed to activate a greater season in our lives. And this year, as we go into 2019, I want for us to pray, what does God want to do for us corporately as a spiritual family? What does God want to do individually for our families, our immediate families? What does God want to do for you personally? What is the vision? What is the corporate vision? You've heard a little bit of it today. What is your personal vision? How do those things dovetail? And what do you need? What type of seed do you need to put in the ground to activate those visions? That vision. We shouldn't enter into our year haphazardly or gradually, right? We should come with preparation, the preparation of prayer, the preparation of worship, the preparation of a seed. So today we're gonna give some envelopes that you can take home. We're gonna pray. We're gonna make some declarations. But just so that we're all on the same page, because some might be here today and say, yes, yes, amen. I hear what you're saying. But you tell me how to do that. Tell me how to do that. So I want to give you three guidelines for sowing a seed into your year. And I want to tell you this because this has since we started doing this, this has revolutionized my life. And I want for it to touch your life in the same way, because it's a principle of God. Three guidelines. Number one, give according to your faith. Some of you are believing for big things. You need to give according to your faith. If you're expecting God to do something more, then you need to give something that you haven't given before. With Pastor Corinne and I, this year has been the most generous year that we've ever had. We've given, we've planted more seed, and it's been our best year yet. Our best year in ministry, our best year personally. We've seen breakthroughs personally. We've seen breakthroughs in the church. Amen. Last week we were talking about all kinds of testimonies. Amen. We're seeing more miracles released. Why? Because we said, God, I want to go to a greater level. I want you a greater place of faith. So give according to your faith. That's number one. Number two, give according to your vision. This year we have a vision at Hope of greater ministry. What does your personal vision look like? How does it look like when you're connected to this vision? Our vision here is for greater ministry, more souls saved, more lives impacted, more community impacted. And I know that takes more resources. It takes more to accomplish those things. So if I have greater vision, I have to give a greater seed. Amen? And I'm going to start. What am I going to do? I'm going to start preparing with my family. I'm going to start preparing with my wife. Start praying. Even involve our children. Say, come, let's pray about what God would have us give this year. And start setting something aside. Because I don't believe that God ever takes a step backwards. God is always moving forward. God takes us from glory to glory. From a great place to an even greater place. So I'm giving according to my vision. And number three, last one, give with expectation. When you give with expectation. Because if you don't have expectation, guess what? It's not going to be as great as it could have been. Because you got to give with an expectation. When we give with expectation, the Bible says our faith will move mountains. When we give without faith, it says it's impossible to please God without faith. But when we have that faith, when we have that expectation, can I tell you, mountains are going to move. Mountains of finances, mountains, relational mountains, health mountains, career opportunity mountains are going to move. So when we give with expectation. Give knowing that mountains are going to move on your behalf. What do I believe about this year? I believe this next year is going to be exactly what God said it is. It's going to be a year for us to possess the promise. As a church body, as a spiritual family, but also you personally. That God is going to allow you, God is going to cause you, God is going to help you possess the promise in your life. It's going to take some prayer and pressing. It's going to take some perseverance. It's going to take us listening, like we've been talking about, to God's voice. And it's going to take us planting a seed. But the word and our destiny is to possess the promise. Will you just stand with me today? And in a moment, we're going to lift up this envelope and we're going to pray over our destiny. We're going to pray over the vision that God has for us in this season.
A few years, Apostle had started this. And I remember when we started, actually it's been more than a few years, but we did it out of obedience. We started by doing it out of obedience. But over time, we really caught the lesson behind it. And the truth is that everything in the kingdom of God is seed time and harvest. Everything. He spoke a word and creation. He spoke the word that we now can speak over our lives. But it's every word is a seed. And when we go to do this, I encourage you to open up your flap as God begins to tell you your personal things. And you write it on the inside of that flap. Because what we're going to do is when we come on New Year's Eve to submit it, we're going to declare it over. You don't just submit it and just... Here it is. You got to declare the word. I declare a harvest on this word, on this seed. And then we declare the harvest for our return. But You know, I just want to encourage you, because I know sometimes I've had a year or two where I came in and I'm like, this is my year. We're going to do this thing. And it didn't pan out the way it seemed to me that it should have. But you cannot let your disappointments dictate how you're going to confess and what you're going to do in the future. Because the truth is, although you may not see it in the moment, those years of challenge or those years where we were pressed have really produced something and ministry in us that we did not have back then. And so I'm thankful. And just like he was saying, that we move in a forward motion, the kingdom of God, we always move forward. Everything that comes to challenge us, actually, we can step on it and it becomes a part of our testimony and it becomes a place for us to minister. So as you're going into your homes, take it as a moment to really make your house a house of prayer. I want to read to you this scripture that God gave me for this time. And it's found in Isaiah chapter 56, verse 6 through 8. And as for the outsiders who now follow me, working for me, loving my name, and wanting to be my servants, and who keep Sabbath and don't defile it, holding fast to my covenant. By the way, we're no longer outsiders. We're insiders. We're all sons and daughters of the Most High. I'll bring them to my holy mountain and give them joy. Give them what? Joy in my house of prayer. They'll be welcome to worship the same as the insiders, to bring burnt offerings and sacrifices to my altar. Oh yes, my house of worship will be known as a house of prayer for all people. I believe that we know we've been called a house of worship, that our house is a house of worship, that we have this anointing for worship. But God's word talks about his house being a house of prayer. And I believe this is the beginning of us really beginning to walk in that. So as you do this, let it be something that sparks that desire for your family, that new walk where you can teach your children. If you don't have any children, that's fine. If it's you, just make it something that you say, God, I need help with this, because I'll tell you the truth. And this is something that God has been revealing to me. Our nation has been in a lot of unrest. But if we go back to what the word says, that if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, there's a lot of people that have not humbled themselves and put prayer first. We have to humble ourselves and pray, not leave it in the back and say, well, let's try to logistically figure this out. God has made us to be spiritual beings, and we have to connect with him, and we have to put our prayer on the forefront and begin to speak the word of God over our families. If we want to see a change in this nation, it starts at home. It starts with our family, our kingdom, right? And then which ties into the kingdom of God. So I pray that the eyes of your spirit are really open and your ears to hear that God is doing something great among us, and that we are not like those who have no hope. We have hope, and that God has given us such a great word for this new year about possessing our promises. So if you would just hold your envelope up, and Pastor Joshua is going to pray for us.
Lord, we just declare, Father, that you would release vision in our lives, God, as we release, Father, the seed of prayer, the seed of worship, and the seed of resources, God. Lord, that you would just unlock and activate, God, every promise that you've promised us. And I declare a season of possessing the promise. A season of possessing the promise. God, I thank you for your blessings. I thank you, God, for your increase. God, I thank you for health, God, and miracles, and sons and daughters coming back home, God, and family restoration, God. And Lord, those that have been praying, God, and believing for a spouse, God, Lord, that it's going to happen, God, the possessing, Father, of every promise, God. I thank you, Father, for us seeing that in 2019. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen. Just give about five people a big hug and say, I'm ready to possess my promise.
Thank you for listening to the Hope United podcast. Be sure to visit hopeunited.church for more exciting content.